One of the questions that we might ask, well, how does God guide us? How does God direct our lives? How can we find out whether this is God? Say you're about to make a major decision. You're about to move. Maybe you're going to take another job, go to another state. How do you know this is God or not? God may just put the desire in your heart, and you might think, I don't know if that's God or not. And then the circumstances change. Maybe you lose your job, you know, or other kind of circumstances change. And then finally, maybe you open the Bible one day and it's right there, and you say, oh, it's time to make a change. The desire is there, the circumstances, and then God speaks.
You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul.
You know, the first requirement for effective evangelism is a clear concept of what the gospel is. We cannot expect evangelism to make any impact if the church gives the impression that it's not sure what the gospel is. Evangelism begins not with methods, but with concerned people. And people will not be concerned until they recognize their plight of man and the grace of God. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey will offer us timely examples on how personal evangelism works. As we continue our studies in the book of Acts, we'll be looking further at chapter 8 and consider how Philip had the opportunity to make Jesus known to a man who was in search for truth and peace in his life. With today's broadcast from Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him, and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both of them into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so this story of Philip here now, ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch. If you remember, a few weeks ago we studied that Philip was one of the first deacons in the body of Christ there in the early church. Philip was one, Stephen was one, Stephen was martyred. And Philip became an evangelist. The Bible tells us that if we're faithful in the little things, God will make us ruler over much. And Philip was faithful. He was faithful in that job. He was a waiter. He was chosen in the body of Christ to be a waiter, to take care of the Grecian women there and minister to them to make sure they got the proper food portions. And so he was waiting on tables. And yet God turned this Philip into a mighty evangelist. And his daughters later, we'll see in the book of Acts, they prophesied. And this man had a godly family, a blessed man. And God used him in some mighty ways. And here we see in Acts chapter 8, in the first part of this chapter, he went down to Samaria and preached unto them Christ, and there was great revival. great revival there. It's an awesome thing going on there in Samaria. Many, many people coming to the Lord, being baptized, and the excitement in the air. Have you ever been in the midst of a revival where you saw that excitement in the air? Years ago, I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Oakland, California. And I'll tell you what, there was an excitement in the air. People hearing the gospel, and they flooded out of those stands and came down there in that Coliseum. I forgot the name of the place, but it was a football field, actually, I believe. But anyway, they came down to the ground there, and they were before Billy Graham, and he was leading them in the sinner's prayer, leading them to Jesus Christ. And there was just something, you could feel the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that with Philip here in Acts, you could feel the Holy Spirit. Same thing with the Greg Laurie crusade I went to several years ago in California. Greg Laurie is an evangelist one of the Calvary Chapel evangelists. It's just palpable when these people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel the word preached with power. You hear the word preached with power. And so that's what was happening here with Philip, preaching the word with power and people getting saved. Well, in the midst of that, God called him out of there to go to another place. Now that's an interesting thing to me when it says in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he obeyed. He went. Didn't ask any questions. He just went. Now, my question is, how did he know for sure that this was God speaking? I mean, I would have been thinking, wait a minute now. Are you sure? We're in the middle of a big revival here. There are hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people getting saved, and I'm doing this great work here, and you're using me in a mighty way, and I'm supposed to leave and go down to the desert? Is this God speaking? Well, he knew it was. Somehow he knew it was. And it may have been very obvious to him. It says, the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip. The angel of the Lord, Gabriel, one of the angels of the Lord, spoke unto Zacharias and spoke unto Mary. And they both knew that this was an angel of the Lord, and told Zacharias he was going to have a son, John the Baptist. Told Mary she was going to have a son, virgin birth. And they both knew that, and they believed that. And that angel was pretty obvious to them. So it may have been pretty obvious to Philip that this was an angel of God. An angel spoke to Daniel. Daniel knew it was an angel. John, in the book of Revelation, an angel spoke to him. He knew it was an angel. But this had to be kind of tough, you know. You're in the midst of success in ministry. Great success. Boy, this church has got thousands of people. And God says, I want you to go to the mission field. Whoa, can that possibly be God? I've known of cases in which that happened. Some great men of God had very successful churches, and God called them right out of it into the mission field to do another work equally as great, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he said, now go down to the desert, Gaza. Well, you know about the Gaza Strip today? I mean, it wasn't quite like it is today, but it was desert. There wasn't much down there. But yet, Philip knew it was the Lord, and Philip went. And God called him out to one man. That's another interesting thing. He was ministering to hundreds, maybe thousands, as I said. And God called him out to one man. But it might be that this one man, this Ethiopian eunuch, went and evangelized Ethiopia. According to some historical records, that is the case, that there are Christians in Ethiopia today. I think the country is some 40% Christian, and they date it back to this man, this Ethiopian eunuch who went down there and told the people about Jesus. So God did an awesome thing through this Ethiopian eunuch. So sometimes we don't understand everything. We might think great success is big numbers, and God might say, no, great success might just be one man. One man that I'm going to use in such a mighty way. It reminds me of a Scottish pastor who was very discouraged. And he went before his congregation at the end of the year and said, we've only had one convert to Jesus Christ this year. We've only had one convert. He apologized. He said, but little Bobby Moffat here is the only one that's come to Jesus Christ. But he presented him to the congregation, little Bobby Moffat. Little Bobby Moffat grew up and went and opened up Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God looks at things in different ways. Man counts numbers and money and those kinds of things, and God looks at hearts. And God also looks at the long range, where we look at the short range. God, I'm having great success here. Don't mess around with me, God. And he's got something far greater for you, and that's what he had for Philip. I'm confident God would not have called Philip out of something lesser, out of something greater into something lesser. This call was upon his heart. Philip obeyed. Philip went. So one of the questions that we might ask, well, how does God guide us? How does God direct our lives? How How can we find out whether this is God? Say you're about to make a major decision. You're about to move. Maybe you're going to take another job, go to another state. How do you know this is God or not? Those can be tough things to decide about. And primarily, God guides through His Word. Look at the Bible. See what the Bible has to say. Now, but the Bible may not say directly what you are to do, but it does give you guidance along the way, some signposts to watch for. So God guides primarily through His Word. And what I do when I'm looking for His wisdom, I look for an example in the Bible that's similar to what I'm going through and it's similar to my situation. One of them that I like a lot is the story of Jacob. When Jacob he has had to flee from his brother Esau because he stole his birthright and Esau was going to kill him. He went to his uncle Laban and he served his uncle Laban for 20 years, 7 years for each of his wives, Leah and Rachel, another 6 years for cattle and sheep and so forth. One day he just said, the idea came into his heart, I want to go back home. So the desire came into his heart. So that's one thing. If you want to know if God's guiding or not, maybe you need to think about, what is my desire? What do I really want to do? You know, the desire came in his heart to go back home. And then the circumstances changed. Desire to do something. Then the circumstances. Laban's countenance was not as it was before, it tells us in Genesis 31:2. Laban began to get harsh with his son-in-law. And because he could see God blessing Jacob. Jacob was getting all the flocks and Laban's were dying off. And so he got upset with him and his countenance was not as it was before. And he changed his wages 10 times. And so the circumstances changed. Previously, things were pretty good for Jacob. And all of a sudden, they're not so good anymore. And then finally, God himself spoke unto Jacob. And he said, I want you to go back. I want you to go back to the land of your fathers. So what do we have there? We have several things. God may just put the desire in your heart. And you might think, I don't know if that's God or not. And then the circumstances change. Maybe you lose your job, you know, or other kind of circumstances change. And then finally, maybe you open the Bible one day and it's right there. And you say, oh, it's time to make a change. And the Lord has been speaking to me. The desire is there, the circumstances, and then God speaks. Now, as we look at those things in Jacob's life, I have to say, these are some things that I use, but you have to be a little careful. When I analyze this, number one, the desire. That first part's not always reliable because it may or may not be God. You know, James tells us that you have not because you ask not, and then when you do ask, you don't receive it because you ask wanting to consume it upon your own lust. So we have to be careful. Is this desire really from the Lord, or is this just me being greedy and selfish and wanting something that I want instead of what God wants? And so the desire thing can not be reliable, so you have to be careful in that area. Now, circumstances, circumstances often do end up directing us what we do. You know, if you don't have a job, for instance, and you can't find a job in the city in which you're in, and you look and you look and you look, it might be time to make a change. That could be a possibility. And so circumstances will often dictate. Now, the last thing is what I like when God speaks. When God speaks, and I know it's God. Oh, man, I love it, but how do you know it's God? Well, I know it's God when I'm reading His Word, and He speaks to my heart out of His Word. You have to have the heart of a servant. You have to give up where you have no agenda of your own and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I planned it this way, but it's not working out. Okay, Lord, what is your plan? Now, it's okay to have plans and goals and ambitions and dreams. Without a vision, the people perish. As a pastor, I have plans and goals and visions and dreams for Calvary Chapel, but I'm also very much aware of the fact I may be going like that and God may take us just like that. Or God may take us like that, or I know He's going to take us like that up in one of these days. But we make those plans and those goals. But my understanding with the Lord, God, if I am off in any of these plans, if this is not in accordance with your will, you change it. You have my permission at any moment to put me on another course and to change that. And so, not my will, but thine be done. Seek His glory, not your own glory. Weigh your heart carefully, because if your plans are for you to have some kind of glory in something, or for you to get rich, a get rich quick scheme, boy, those always fail. Forget it. You know, seek His glory, not yours. Keep this in mind. God never leads contrary to His Word. If you think God's leading you to do something that's contrary to His Word, you're wrong. Well, you know, I don't make enough from this company. They don't really pay me very well, so maybe it's okay if I steal a little bit now and then. Nobody knows and so forth, and that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not trusting the Lord. You're a petty thief. Not a petty thief. You're more than that. You're making a mockery of your Christianity. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. So we can justify things very easily. But God says, obey His word. Obey Scripture. Pray. Ask God to speak. Ask Him to show you. So yield to God. Yield your life to Him. Ask Him to speak. Ask Him to show you His will. Now, some other ways that you can know God's will is, do you have peace? Do you have peace? That peace that passes all understanding. And everybody else is running around like a chicken with their head cut off. You know, they're saying, don't you understand what's happening here? What's going on? And we're about to go bankrupt, or we're going under, or the business is not going to survive, or whatever. And you say, God's going to take care of it. I have peace. I have the peace of the Lord. Well, another good thing, by the way, if you're married, talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Find out what they think. Find out what they think about something. You know, more wisdom has come out of my wife's mouth at times when I didn't want to hear it. You know, because usually when I'm at that point where I don't want to hear it, the Lord, boom, pierces my heart. And it comes out of her mouth. And she says, this is what you need to do. This is the problem. So talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. God put them in your lives for a reason. And get their counsel. Jacob consulted his wives, but by the way, I gave you how God guides in Jacob's life with the desire, with the circumstances, and God spoke. But after God spoke to Jacob, Jacob went in and consulted his wives. And they said, we're ready to go. We're with you, man. Our father has, you know, not been good to us, and he's devoured all of our dowry anyway, and we're with you. So he consulted his wives. Trusted Christian friends, counselors, wise counselors. You know, that's another thing. You can't quite figure out what's God saying, what's God's doing. You look through the Bible, you can't find the right scriptures, and go to somebody who knows the Word and ask them to help you. What is there a scripture that fits for my situation? Find that out first. And so go to a trusted Christian friend, a wise counselor. And then another thing is, it's too late for this now. My father's dead and my mother is elderly and not able to do this. But if you're a younger couple, sometimes going to your parents and saying, what about this? What do you think about this? You'll be amazed. If you're about 22 or 23, young married person, you'll be amazed at what your parents have learned in the past 4 or 5 years since you were about 16. And parents, that's another source of wisdom. Now, if in doubt, in the final analysis, wait. Wait. When you're in a tough situation, just wait. God, I find that God is not in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that? I'm always in a hurry, and God is never in a hurry. And God almost always says to me, wait. And so if somebody's putting pressure on me to make a decision, you know what I tell them? No. If I'm getting pressure, you got to decide right now. A few years ago, this guy had this great financial deal. I mean, he was getting all these doctors into it, and he came to me and said, man, you got to do this now. You got to do this week. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This stock is going out the ceiling. You got to do this now. And I said, I don't think so. And I didn't do it, and I was so glad. The stock went out into the basement. So when you're getting pressure, you got to do it now. It's very rare that God gives that kind of pressure, extremely rare. Now, I think Philip knew this was the angel of the Lord speaking unto him, saying, going down to Ethiopia, or going down rather to Gaza, to the desert. Now, he didn't know why he was going down there. That's another thing. Did you ever go somewhere for the Lord where you didn't even know what was going to happen when you got there? And Philip didn't know what was going to be happening, but he went down there to Gaza, which was a desert. He arose and went. There was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so here now, this man is a man of great authority under the queen, Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was probably Jewish, I think he was, you know, and an official there in the court of the queen. And he wanted to go to Jerusalem to worship at this particular time. And he was coming back home, sitting in his chariot, reading from Isaiah the prophet. Now, he was probably frustrated because he went back to Jerusalem, the birthplace of his religion, to see great things. You know, when you make a pilgrimage like that, you want to see spiritual people worshiping the Lord and really turned on. And I don't think he found that there. I think he found religious formalism and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, and they're the ones that crucified Jesus. I don't think he found any of the things he was looking for. He's probably frustrated, but I do believe he had a hungry heart. I do believe he had a hungry heart for the things of God. And God meets a hungry heart. He was coming back, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now that was rather interesting. A chariot going along and Philip kind of, I guess Philip was walking along beside him or going pretty, do you understand what you're reading? The guy was reading loud enough for other people to hear, you know. And this guy said, come up, have a seat. Tell me what it means. How does a person get saved? The Spirit of God through the Word of God, and then God sends a person, doesn't he? So here, the Spirit of God sent Philip down there. This Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Word of God, and God sends a man. And here, Philip goes and preaches unto him Christ. That's the way it happens about 99% of the time. Once in a while, somebody will get saved by just reading a Bible. But usually, God uses a man to speak, or a woman. And so, do you understand what you read? And he said, come sit with me. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And he's reading about Jesus Christ, reading about Christ and his crucifixion. His life was taken away from this earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Who's a prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love it when somebody says to you, you know, most of the time we have to sort of let people know we're Christians and tell them about Jesus. I love it when somebody says, will you tell me about Jesus? Can you tell me about this man? Or I've been reading this Bible scripture and I don't understand it. Would you please explain this to me? And then that man, then you get a chance. You go, whoa, here's fertile soil. Here's a heart ready to receive. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You don't have to force it when you witness. Just let the Lord do it. And that's what happened here. And so he fertile soil. So he wanted to hear. And Philip preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain body of water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he was baptized. And so Philip, he the Ethiopian eunuch, commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now you talk about miracles. I didn't see this in the life of Peter or Paul or anybody else, where a guy was one place and the Spirit of the Lord caught him away and he's somewhere else, 40 miles away preaching. I mean, beam me up, Scotty. He beamed him over. I mean, that is some kind of miracle, isn't it? And God can do anything. But I don't know of any other place in the scripture where we have a miracle of that nature, where it says the Spirit of the Lord caught him away. Well, we do. Enoch was translated. He was caught up to heaven. So Philip, I guess 40 miles is nothing to the Lord if he can take you up to heaven. So, and he's going to take us up. So anyway, the Lord caught Philip over, took him over to another place, and he went rejoicing, and the eunuch went rejoicing back to Ethiopia, saved, newfound salvation in Jesus Christ, and went and took the gospel to Ethiopia. And now Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So fascinating portion of Scripture.
Well, today from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey has been offering us some timely examples of how personal evangelism works, as we've been drawing those principles in Acts chapter 8. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Thomasville, in Georgia.
soul with all my heart.